First Kings chapter 17. And once again, we're considering the words of verse 1, where we are introduced to this man, Elijah. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, before whom I stand, Elijah said, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. Last Sabbath evening, we commenced this study in the life of Elijah. And we wanted to introduce ourselves to this man and he to us. And so we considered Elijah the servant of the Lord. As we pointed out then, this is the first appearance of his name in the scriptures. And while we have the first appearance of the name Elijah the Tishbite, yet we know that in the New Testament, of all the Old Testament prophets, he is the most frequently mentioned, apart from Moses. So he holds a very prominent position in the pages of Holy Writ. And in considering Elijah the servant of the Lord, we looked at his person. He's a humble person. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, James tells us. Just a humble, ordinary man, just like ourselves. We noted also that he was a hidden person. That is, we were told very little about him. Nothing about his background, other than what we have here in verse 1. Elijah the Tishbite, he was of the inhabitants of Gilead. He was a man who was greatly honored. He was honored with a likeness to Christ, because when the Jews saw Christ, they thought he was Elijah. And so there was that similarity and that likeness between the two. That is a great honor indeed, to be likened, and even for the Jews to mistake the Lord for Elijah, because there were so many similarities between the two. And then we noted also his parents. Now, his parents aren't mentioned here, but we learned something about them. We learned something about his parents through the name Elijah. Israel was given over to idolatry. Israel had acknowledged Baal as the God of Israel. They had forgotten about Jehovah. They worshipped Baal. They had set up idols and groves throughout the land. Ahab, of course, had married Jezebel, a wicked, evil, unclean woman, involved in whoredoms and idolatry. And she was a Baal worshipper. And between the two of them, we were leading Israel more and more away from the worship and the acknowledging of Jehovah. And then it was against that spiritual background that Elijah was born, and his parents called him Elijah. Elijah means Jehovah is God. And that speaks to us of the boldness of the parents of Elijah. They didn't give him a name consistent with Baal, but they gave him a name consistent with the God of Israel. Jehovah is God. And then you have his place, the Tishbite, of the inhabitants of Gilead. Tishbeit. Tishbeit, the place. No one knows its location. It's an unknown place. And here the Lord was pleased to raise up a man out of an unknown place of the inhabitants of Gilead. And that was in many ways typical of the man himself. Gilead means strong or rocky. And here we're introduced to Elijah in the first verse of chapter 17. And he's taking a strong rock-like stand for Jehovah his God. That leads us now to consider Elijah and to stand for the Lord. We've learned something about Elijah, the servant of the Lord. Now here we have Elijah and to stand for the Lord. The opening verse again, and Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. He may have been a man of subject to like passions or feelings, as we are. But we see this man who's just like ourselves, standing before Ahab and confronting this wicked king and telling this wicked king that there would be no rain upon the earth, turned out for 3.5 years. There would be no rain according to my word, Elijah said. He confronted this man, Ahab. Ahab, a man like ourselves, we could say, maybe, well, I could never do something like that. Elijah, a man like ourselves, rather, we wonder how Elijah was able to go in and stand before Ahab and be so bold and courageous. Well, just like the Apostle Paul, who said, I can do all things through Christ, that strengtheneth me. And evidently, Elijah got his strength from the Lord. And that leads us to consider, regarding his stand, his courage. The verse reads, mark the words carefully. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab. Mark that word, said. He said unto Ahab. There we see the prophet and his courageous stand. There we see the prophet's courage. Because you see, up until that time, nobody had said anything to Ahab. Now we know there were other prophets in the land who had not bowed the knee to Baal. But no other prophet said anything. They were there, but they didn't say anything. There were other prophets in the land. They were silent. At least Elijah said something. There you have his courage. When others were silent, Elijah opened his mouth and spoke with great boldness and said unto Ahab. Remember what the angel of the Lord said to Elizabeth and her husband Zechariah regarding their son John the Baptist. The angel of the Lord said of John the Baptist, he shall go before him, that is before Christ, in the spirit and power of Elias. John the Baptist would have the spirit and the power of Elias or Elijah. He would be anointed with the spirit and power of Elijah. And that was seen whenever John the Baptist appeared before Herod. Just as Elijah appeared before Ahab and was bold in his denunciation of Ahab and his sin, so John the Baptist went forth in the power and the spirit of Elijah and denounced Herod for his sin and his wickedness. Without a doubt, John had been anointed with the spirit and power of Elijah. And dear Christian, would we not acknowledge tonight that we need that same anointing? That we need the same anointing of the spirit and power of Elijah? Are we not so timid and afraid of the face of men? We're afraid to say anything to them. We're afraid to witness to them. We're afraid to speak to them about the Lord. They may laugh at us. They may curse us. And we're afraid of the face of men. If we had this anointing of the spirit and power of Elijah, there would be no fear there. No fear. As there was no fear of Elijah. And no fear in John the Baptist. Do we not need more servants of the Lord today who possess the same spirit and power of Elijah? More men who will speak out against the nation's sin, take their stand against apostasy and religious compromise. Men who will have the courage of their convictions and will let their voice be heard in this day when the spirit of Antichrist is already at work. And speak up for the Lord. We need the anointing of the spirit and power of Elijah. That's what we need. As well as his courage, we see his claim. We're told that first impressions can be lasting impressions. And Elijah created a good first impression. Here we're introduced to him. First thing that we learn about Elijah is contained in verse 1 of 1 Kings 17. And his first words to Ahab were, "As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand." At a time when Ahab and his wife Jezebel were leading Israel into Baal worship, Elijah made it clear where he stood. That's what you like about Elijah. Nailed his colors to the mast. Appeared before Ahab and made it known to Ahab, "This is where I stand. I know where you stand. You're serving Baal. You're worshipping idols. I worship the Lord God of Israel. He is the one that I stand before." At a time when it was believed by many that Baal was Israel's God. Many in Israel believed that. Many in Israel acknowledged Baal as their God. We know that later on from Elijah's appearance on Mount Carmel. When he confronted the false prophets of Baal. And yet here is Elijah a man who made it clear that Israel had only one God. And Israel's God was not Baal. Israel's God was Jehovah. Jehovah was Israel's God. Elijah said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth. I like what he said. The Lord God of Israel. You may believe that Baal is the God of Israel. I believe the Lord God is Israel's God. Jehovah is Israel's God. Notice something else. Elijah said, the Lord God of Israel liveth. He liveth. There is Ahab, and he is a worshipper of Baal. Baal is a dead god, a man-made god. And Elijah is saying to Ahab, your God is dead, but my God liveth. Israel's true God is alive. And Elijah was saying to Ahab, your God is a dead God. He cannot hear. He cannot speak. He cannot move. He cannot work. He has no power. He has no life in him. My God is alive. He's the one whom before I stand. He is the one whom I serve. Remember again the meaning of his name. Jehovah is God. And there is Elijah. And he says to Ahab, the Lord God of Israel liveth. Which was basically the meaning of his own name. What was Elijah doing? Elijah was living up to his name. Jehovah is God. Elijah was living up to his name. Every one of us have the same name. The Lord has given us all a name. The name is Christian. When we got saved, we became Christians. We weren't Christians when we were born. We didn't grow into our Christianity. We became Christians when we were saved. That's our name. It speaks of Christ. Are we living up to our name? Elijah, living up to his name. Jehovah is God. The Apostle Paul exhorted Timothy to live up to his name. And in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 12, Paul said to Timothy, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers. Be thou an example of the Christian. Live up to your name. Be thou an example of the believers in words, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Live up to your name. Elijah lived up to his name. If we live up to our name, if we live up to the name of Christian, of our behavior, our word, our conversation, our behavior is consistent with our name, then others will see the Lord in us. People will know that our God, our Lord, liveth. Many in this world believe our God is dead. That's how they live. They live as if God is dead. Trample underfoot His word. Bring in laws that are contrary, that are an abomination, and must be obnoxious in the nostrils of God. And they live as though God is dead. When we can prove to them that God is alive, when we live up to our name, they will see God is alive because they'll see Him living in us. They'll know our God. They'll know that Christ is alive because they'll see Him in us. What a great man Elijah was. We notice also his cause. He made this claim, the Lord God of Israel liveth. He was able to make that claim, standing before Ahab, showing great courage. The whole theme today is, oh, you need to compromise. This political correctness. We saw it last week when that Muslim major murdered 13 soldiers. You don't need to listen to the news media or read it and the excuses they were making for that Muslim major. They were excusing what he did. He was a psychiatrist. And he met with the soldiers coming back from Iraq as they told him their stories and how the things they saw in Iraq that really troubled them, and they needed help, and this man was supposed to be helping them, and these commentators were telling us that this major must have been greatly troubled by the things that he had heard from other soldiers. They were making an excuse for him. And they said, oh, he just must have cracked up. He was a Muslim. And he didn't want to go to Iraq, and he didn't want to go to Afghanistan. He was a coward. That's what he was. And then he turns around and murders 13 of his fellow soldiers. There's very few political commentators told it like it is and told the truth about the man. It was a terrorist attack. But that's how it is today. You have to be politically correct. Have to compromise. Don't say anything that might offend. Elijah didn't care who he offended. And I have no doubt he offended Ahab. Because later when Ahab met with Elijah again, he said, art thou the man that troublest Israel? You're the troublemaker. It's always the way, isn't it? Man that takes a stand for the Lord, preaches the truth, declares the whole counsel of God, denounces sin, he's the troublemaker. Elijah was the troublemaker. Why? Because he told the truth. Then you have his cause. Elijah said to Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand. In that phrase, before whom I stand, Elijah revealed to Ahab the cause that he was fighting for, the cause that he was standing up for. He revealed, first of all, his responsibility. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand. He revealed his responsibility. His responsibility to the Lord God of Israel. That's what Ahab or Elijah was saying. My first responsibility is to my God, the God of Israel. He may have been standing before Ahab, the king of Israel, the wicked, idolatrous king of Israel, but Elijah makes it clear that his first responsibility was to the true God of Israel, before whom I stand. Elijah didn't say, I'm standing before you, O king. No, he says, I'm standing before the Lord God of Israel. And my responsibility is to him. First of all, because the Lord God of Israel was Elijah's true king, his true sovereign. He was the servant, not of Ahab, he was the servant of the Lord God of Israel. And believer, that's where we must stand also. We have a responsibility to God, first of all. He must be first. Responsibility to his word, his commands, to carry them out and do as he tells us. Elijah made it clear, as a prophet of God, his responsibility was to him. He made it clear that he was standing up for the Lord. It'll become more and more difficult, believer, as the years go by. More difficult for us to stand up for the Lord. Think what is happening in the world today and what is taking place, and again the laws that have been passed. The Lord's coming cannot be far away. I'm not much into eschatology. But his return can't be far away. For as it was in the days of Noah, so it shall also be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. And you look at the days of Noah, and the wickedness of the people in the days of Noah came up to heaven. The wickedness that's in the world today is unbelievable. And you know something, we don't know a fraction, or we only know a fraction of what's happening in the world. The wickedness is just unbelievable. The drunkenness, the immorality, the rise in pedophilia. And before long, I have no doubt that the people rise up and they'll want to legalize pedophilia. The wickedness is unbelievable. And to take our stand as Christians, we'll need to be anointed with the Spirit and the power of Elijah. We'll need it. Elijah made it clear his responsibility was to God. He wasn't going to bow the knee and worship Baal. He wasn't going to go along with Ahab's scheme of things. He was going to stand for God. And believer, we need to resolve also in this day of wickedness. We need to resolve, I'm going to stand for God. No matter who it offends, it may offend my friends, it may offend the members of my family, it may offend those who I work with, it may offend my neighbors, but I don't care. My responsibility is to God first. Before whom we stand. Notice also his realization, his responsibility to stand before God. To stand before God, there was an indication that Elijah realized, was aware of something. He was aware that God was observing his every action, listening to his every word, because he's standing before God. He's not hiding somewhere. He's standing there out in the open, as it were, before God. Of course, we can't hide from God. But the very fact that Elijah used this term, before whom I stand, Elijah was indicating, I'm aware, Ahab, I am aware, that as my first responsibility is to God, God's eye is upon me. And what I do, I must do to please him. Because I'm standing before him. He told Ahab that everything he said and everything he did, he will have to give an answer to God. Because I'm standing before him. And you know, believer, we'll all stand before him one day. And we'll all have to give an account. Elijah was saying, Ahab, I'm not answerable to you. I am answerable to God. To the Lord God of Israel. Israel's God. And whether we stand or walk in this world, we stand and we walk before God. We're before him. His eye is upon us. And we'll have to give an account. Turn, please, to Luke 16. Luke 16. Verse 1. And verse 2. And he said also unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him, said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. Give an account. We are the Lord's stewards. Have we wasted his goods? Have we wasted his time? Have we wasted his talents that he has given to us? We are his stewards. And one day we'll be summoned into his presence and we'll be asked to give an account. The word account may be rendered reckoning. You talk about a day of reckoning. Well, here it is. Here's the day of reckoning. When we'll be called upon to give an account of our stewardship, of our actions, of our behavior, of our words, our conversation, of our labors. Romans 14, verse 12. So then, every one of us, Paul's not talking about the ungodly. Every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Same word, that word account. Reckoning. Paul is talking here about the day of reckoning. Elijah told Ahab that he stood before God. Over in Genesis 17, we read there of a man. We're not told that he stood before God, but he walked before God. Genesis 17, verse 1. When Abram was 90 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me. And be thou perfect. The word perfect is the word upright or sincere. Walk before me. You've the thought there of a father and son, they're out for a walk. And rather than have the son lag behind, where he might get up to some mischief, he says to the son, walk in front of me, walk before me, and I'll be able to keep an eye on you. Walk uprightly. Don't be straying off to the right or to the left. The Lord told Ahab, or Abram, walk before me and be thou perfect. And later on, when Abraham's servant went and sought a bride for Isaac, we read there in Genesis 24 that Eliezer, the servant of Abraham, was able to testify to that very fact that he did walk before God. Genesis 24, verse 40. And he said unto me, the Lord before whom I walk, quoting the words of Abraham, the Lord before whom I walk will send his angel with thee and prosper thy way, and thou shalt take a wife for my son of my kindred and of my father's house. The Lord before whom I walk. God told Abraham, walk before me. Abraham was able to say, I've walked before God. God knows my every action. Has listened to my every word. We keep in mind this truth, that we stand before God, we walk before God. We keep that in mind, that the eyes of our God are upon us. Then we'll stand faithfully for him. We'll walk as Abraham walked, uprightly, knowing that God's eyes are upon us. He's watching. This phrase also speaks to us of his readiness. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand. Didn't say before whom I sit. Or before whom I rest. Or recline. No, before whom I stand. He's like that servant, standing ready to do the bidding of his master. And that's what Elijah made known to Ahab by these words. Before whom I stand, I'm ready to serve, not Baal, I'm ready to serve Jehovah. Because I'm standing before him. He is the one I serve. He is the one before whom I stand and before whom I walk. Oh, believer, may God grant us the same readiness. I wonder what Ahab's impression was of Elijah. I wonder what old Ahab thought of Elijah after that meeting, that very, very briefest of all meetings. I wonder what Ahab was thinking after Elijah turned on his heels and went away. Sure, old Ahab said, that's some character. Who does he think he is? But he was soon to find out that Ahab's God indeed was alive. Or Elijah's God indeed was alive. And Ahab's God was a dead God. May we have that same readiness. Readiness to serve the Lord in this day of apostasy, with a nation strewn with idols, false gods. And finally, Elijah and his statement from the Lord. What was the statement? As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. There was his statement. That was all he said. It was all he said. Because he left the presence of Ahab and went away, awaiting command of the Lord. He was standing before God, ready to serve the Lord, ready to be given his next order. What was the next order? Go and hide thyself by the brook Cherith. He was ready to go. We need to be ready as well to go at the Lord's bidding. If Ahab, his wife Jezebel, and most of Israel worshipped a false god, then they would soon realize that Elijah's God was the true and the living God. And to make them realize this truth, to bring them to at least acknowledge this truth, Elijah made that statement, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. What was the reason for this statement? We know that Israel had gone after other gods. But why was this the judgment? Why was it no rain? Why was that the punishment or the judgment or the chastening of Israel? The Lord could have dealt with Israel some other way. Why did he deal with them through his prophet in this way? No rain for 3.5 years. Well, we'll find the answer in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 11. And in Deuteronomy chapter 11 and verse 13. Deuteronomy 11 verse 13. And it shall come to pass, if ye shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, that I will give you the rain of your land in his due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn and thy wine and thine oil. And I will send grass in thy fields for thy cattle, that thou mayest eat and be full. Take heed to yourselves, that your heart be not deceived, and ye turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. And then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you, And he shut up the heaven that there be no rain, and that the land yield not her fruit, lest ye perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord giveth you. If you love me with all your heart and you serve me, I'll give you the former and the latter rain, and you will have fruitful fields and fruitful cattle. I'll bless you. But if you turn aside and go after other gods, I'll shut up heaven. But there'd be no rain. And here's Elijah. And he was familiar with the scriptures. He was familiar with how God would deal with Israel. And so he went before Ahab and told him what the consequences would be of his idolatry and his leading Israel away from the true worship of God and the worship of the true God. So to turn the hearts of the people, the prophet made this statement. He spoke the truth. That's what we're called to do. We tell sinners, you need to be saved. If you're not saved, you don't give your heart to Christ, you will perish in your sin and you'll be doomed and damned in hell forever. That's the truth. What is the truth based on? God's word. God's word is truth. That's what is preached. That's what Elijah preached. He preached the truth. You must suffer the consequences of your sin, Ahab. There's not going to be any rain for 3 years, 3.5 years. It was the reason for the statement. And then came the request. Elijah had told Ahab, there's not going to be any rain. And Elijah knew that there wouldn't be any rain. He wasn't going to go before Ahab and make a fool of himself if there's going to be a thunderstorm the next day. There'd be no rain. Why was he so sure? James tells us. James 5, verse 17, Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. There's a whole message in that verse by itself. Elijah went before God and prayed that it would not rain, and his prayers, his request, was based on the promise of God. God said there would be no rain if the nation turned from him. And I'll tell you something else. Elijah prayed that it would not rain for 3.5 years, because you see, Elijah's desire was that Israel would be turned again to the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's why he prayed. That's why he said there'll be no rain. And he prayed to that end because his heart's desire was that Israel be turned again to God. That's what often drives us to our knees, is a desire, is a burden. We want the Lord to give us the desire of our hearts, so we pray. Elijah wanted to see Israel turn back to God, so he prayed.
We want to see our loved ones saved, so we pray. It's a desire.
And the result, according to James, the Lord answered the prayer of Elijah. Elijah was a man who had power in prayer. He said to Ahab, "There shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word." According to his word. He had power with God. And James tells us that he prayed that it might not rain, and it rained not for 3.5 years, and he prayed again. And the Lord opened heaven. Elijah had power with God. Mighty man Elijah. Learned so much about him from this first verse. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts and grant us all the spirit and the power of Elijah. Let's bow in prayer. Our God and loving Father, we come to thee again, blessing thee for thy word, for thy holy word, for this word that tells us, reveals so much about thy great servant Elijah. Lord, we need that same power and spirit. We all need that same power and spirit. We need that anointing. Lord, grant it to us. We might stand fearlessly, uncompromisingly, in this day of apostasy and spiritual declension, stand for God, no matter who it offends, but rather offend our fellow man as offend the Lord. Lord, write thy word on the fleshly tables of our hearts and bless us now as we part the one from the other.